Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word Daily. Australia vs. South Africa, third test SCG, day two. Another rainy day. And Jeff Lemon is going to tell us what happened today in just 30 seconds.
147 for two when Australia resumed. Smith and Khawaja batted through the first session and just carried on doing what they pleased. They put on 209, 30th test century for Stephen Smith. He got out, caught and bowled. Usman Khawaja went on to 195, not out by the end. In comes Travis Head. He wallops 70 off 59 balls. They were tired by that point, the South Africans. He gets out towards the close. Matthew Renshaw comes in, makes a couple, gets to face a couple of overs. It gets called off 475 for four. Rains again and not much from South Africa, although there were points where they tried, but they've got a long 3 days ahead of them here in Sydney. How was that?
Very good, actually. I think I didn't time you, but it sounded like you nailed it in 30 seconds. Yes, yeah, I'm kinder. You could say the same thing every day rather than like actually time me and say 38 seconds and 40 seconds.
You want more positive reinforcement.
That's always, always. That's what I'm always seeking. And Keshav Maharaj has a wicket. So, yes. Yay, I know. I
mean, 402 balls he bowled in the series before he took that wicket. Well, when he took the wicket, it was the 402nd.
And poor guy had to come and do the press conference now. So, he said it was relief. And you could see it on his face. He actually does not know what's gone wrong for them this series. It's not his first tour to Australia. He struggled, but so have South Africa. Look, we never expected South Africa to beat this Australian team, especially this Australian team in these conditions. But the lack of fight, it's not just bewildering to us, but it seems to be bewildering to them. But again, it feels like I'm a little tired of talking about Dean Elgar's captaincy, but some decisions that he took today were baffling.
I'm tired of watching Dean Elgar's captaincy. I mean, you're trying to figure this stuff out, right? And I mean, some people have been saying, well, why do I think that Simon Harmer's the best bowler in the world? I don't. Yeah. I just think that he bowled a couple of overs yesterday where he looked good. He looked threatening. So you go, okay, maybe don't take him off after five overs and not use him for the rest of the day. And then when you come back on the second day and you throw the ball to a spinner first up, do you go for the off spinner who looked dangerous yesterday who'll be bowling to a left-hander? Or do you go for the guy who's bowled at that stage about 350 balls without taking a wicket in the series and has looked flat and who they've been able to counter easily? That's not saying that Maharaj can't bowl. He's been a good bowler for a long period of time. He's not doing well in this series. Players are allowed to have series when they're not playing well, to have matches when they're not playing well. That's all fine. That's okay. As a captain's job, yeah, you want to back your players sometimes, but you also have to make the right decisions for your side. So he doesn't bowl Harmer for hours and hours, or so it seemed, through that session when he finally went to spin today. Then when the new ball comes around, he gives Harmer the ball for about 15 overs with the new ball, while Henrik Nokia is standing there going, I think I bowled pretty well with the new ball when we had it at the start of this innings, and now here I am with the second new ball not getting a shot at it. I mean, I can't make head or tail of the Dean Elgar captaincy calls.
I know, and even you're right. Even before the second new ball, yes, the Maharaj call, and eventually Harmer ended up bowling six overs more than Maharaj. I mean, in this innings, or he has at this point. So he did have a long ball event, and like you said, he just looked threatening. And the fact that he wasn't carrying any baggage into this test, he's playing his first test of the series. And Usman Khawaja clearly was in two minds on a couple of occasions when Harmer was bowling. But he bowled only, what, five overs, like you said. And there was a period when Maharaj was bowling and Marco Jansen was bowling from this end, where the ball finally started to reverse. And Steve Smith, like he did admit, obviously I noticed it before he admitted, he changed his stance. People were wondering what he was doing. He was basically just adjusting for the reverse swing so that rather than stay side on, as he has been throughout this summer, he started going back and across, quite a way across as well. The back foot was going there just so that he could adjust for the late reverse swing so that he had everything covered. Marco Jansen bowls three overs, bowls a good length. There is enough reverse swing there. Understood Marco Jansen's nearing the end of the spell. He takes Marco Jansen off and brings Simon Harmer on. And then two spinners are bowling in tandem with a reversing ball for six or seven overs. And then he brings on Kakiso Rabada, by which time it's not doing that much. But more importantly, Steve Smith, who was very, very scratchy to start with, has got his eye in. He's hit a few boundaries away and he's feeling a lot more confident. And he's gone back to, you know, being on top of the world.
This, I mean, that's another thing that didn't make a lot of sense at the time. So I noticed this with Smith as well, that he was going back to the moving across his stumps technique that he'd been deliberately not using this year. He was staying more still at the crease and all of the rest of it. He looked like he was obviously finding it difficult to time shots off the surface. He played, there were two cut shots that he played to Nokia. One he drags off the bottom edge to cover, the other one he misses as it goes over the top of the bat. So he's not getting the bounce of the pitch. He's not able to time his shots. And he starts to look frustrated and annoyed. And then the tell for me is when Steve Smith plays big shots early in his innings. That's when you know that he's not actually feeling right. So the one he plays from Rabada, which is a length delivery, he doesn't even pull it. He plays it almost with a straight bat, but swats it over mid-wicket, and it races away for four. And everyone on the commentary says, oh, what a great shot. And I thought, that's not a shot that means Steve Smith is batting well. That's a shot that means he's uncomfortable. Yes. You remember the way he played when he came back at Lord's after he'd been hit and he was swatting Chris Wokes over mid-wicket, the way he played against Yasir Shah in Brisbane in 2019 when he came in after watching David Warner and Joe Burns bat for about 3 days and again started hitting over mid-wicket. When he starts taking the bowling on like that early, he's not in control, and that shows, you know, that actually illustrates that he's not playing well in a way when he's hitting those boundaries. And there were a few shots like that as well. There were a couple of pull shots he took on early, and you know, up until he was on about 35 or 40, the whole time he didn't actually seem comfortable out there, and only then after that did he start to settle. And so it felt like South Africa hadn't taken their chance to try to make him feel more uncomfortable when he was evidently uncomfortable. They weren't reading the cues of the player.
No, they haven't read the game at all at any point during this series, with ball or definitely not with bat in hand. And then the second new ball, he gets, Nokia gets two overs before the lunch break, the overs you spoke about. And then they come back and give the ball to Harmer with a brand new second new ball. It made no sense. It allowed Steve Smith to settle in. It allowed him to get to 100. And they started scoring very quickly once again in the second session, like they'd done yesterday. And like he just said in the press conference, he was so disappointed after getting out for 104. Because he said, I missed out on happy hour. I did all the hard work. I fought through the battle and just missed out on not just happy hour, but he also said in his head he was planning for India. He said, I don't mean to be rude, but you know, we are going there. So I was planning to play a few more sweep shots and start practicing some attacking strokes against spin, but I missed out on that. And Travis Head instead did what Travis Head does, which he just fed on the South Africans. But and I think we are seeing a batter who was not just batting at a level that we haven't seen him do that before. And you know this, I've seen a lot of Travis Head in Shield cricket and now in Test cricket as well. But I'll give you one example. There were two boundaries he hit in the same over. I think it was of Rabada or of Jansen, where it's the same length and the contact points are the same. It's just maybe on top of what a virtual fourth stump would be. He cuts one away for four. Or actually, no, he pulls one away for four, and the next one he just cuts away for four. Same line, same length. that's when you know he there is something special about him. But for me, the best part about Travis Head was, and I was telling you this just before the tee break, he gets an outside edge to a hammer delivery that grips on the surface and turns away. And he plays it just the way he was playing spin in Sri Lanka, where Travis Head has this technique where he neither plays the ball in front of his pad like that, nor does he go back like Usman Khawaja does and play it kind of, at the back there of the back foot. Instead, he kind of plays on the crease. The bat is always next to his pad or behind his pad. And often when the ball turns, his hands kind of follow the ball. And that's how he was getting out in Sri Lanka, I remember. And that's what he did today. Got the outside edge. Luckily for him, it kind of ricocheted off the keeper's pads and he wasn't out. But then I thought, oh, this is going to be the test. Not only is it a great opportunity for Travis Head, but the selectors and the team management would be watching him before that India tour. And then he comes back and plays superbly well. Starts using his feet, starts cutting the ball, using the crease, which he doesn't do very often. Mm. And then hits that wonderful six straight and the ball smacking into the side screen at the other end. It was a sensational innings, one of the many he's played already this summer.
Yeah, you saw the fabric on the side screen billowing as the ball went straight into the middle of it. You know, proper bullseye stuff. And then they kept bowling short to him. Their fast bowlers keep bowling short to Travis Head, who doesn't mind you bowling short to him. Pull shot, cut shot, cut shot, pull shot, 4-4-4-4. I mean, he's playing in the way that Adam Gilchrist used to play. And, like, sure, he has to do it for 6, 7, 8 more summers rather than just one summer before you can make any comparison in the actual, the overall meaning of saying that. But in terms of the style, it's someone coming in after the top order has already worn down the opposition and then saying, okay, time for me to have some fun. And, I mean, talk about foot down. Yeah, 70 off 59. He gets caught on the deep mid-wicket boundary. Rassie van der Dussen getting a run on as the sub-fielder. And we haven't talked about Usman Khawaja really yet, who's 195 not out overnight, by the way. It's his highest test score. Steve Smith earlier, you will have read these in the match reports, but 30 test hundreds, that means he goes past Bradman. Yeah. That means he's level with Hayden. That means Steve Waugh and Ponting are the only Australians with more test centuries. Also went past Michael Clarke for career runs in about 30 fewer test matches. And so he's fourth on the all-time runs list. He's got Waugh, Border and Ponting ahead of him. I mean, you know, he's really in the all-timers' ranking lists there. Khawaja... And I found this interesting. So they debut around about the same time. Khawaja brought up his 4,000th run during this inning. Smith is already 8.5. So he's played a lot more tests, but he hasn't played twice as many tests. They're about 92 to 55. So Smith has made a huge bulk more runs. Khawaja had those, you know, had years of being not all that productive and he's had middling returns, but now he's in this last 12 months of his career where everything's working out for him. So he's made his highest score. He's got a shot at his first test double century tomorrow. Surely they'll, you know, bat on for a few overs at least. It'd be funny if he got declared on. That's not going to happen, surely. But the way that he played today, I mean, he was understated. But I liked his decisiveness against spin. He used his feet a lot against spin. That, you know, it's been one of his weaknesses, spin, in the past. And even when he edged the ball, he did it with soft hands and picked up runs for it rather than putting his wicket at risk.
Yeah, it was as sublime as most Usman Khawaja innings we've seen in the last 12 months or so. You'll remember the 200s he got against England here, which turned his career around, was when he was batting at number 5, when Travis Head missed out because of COVID. So today he gets these runs as an opener. So it's like poetic. Almost it's like his life has come a full circle in 12 months. And you're right, his play against spin is great. And any batter who's been successful in the subcontinent will tell you, it's about finding a method and then committing to it 100%, 1,000%. We spoke about Travis Head and how he will deal with spin and if that is his method and if he is going to back himself, it might either come off, it might not. It's when you go there with a double mind is when you struggle. And Usman Khawaja, we saw him in Pakistan and Sri Lanka, Jeff, where he now seems to prefer going right back like Damien Martin used to do in that, or especially did during the 2004 tour. Even Darren Lehman enjoyed playing spin off the back foot or from deep in the crease where he's playing it late. Softer hands, and Steve Smith, I asked Steve Smith this question and he said he's just also widened his horizon in terms of scoring areas. It's not just about defending against spin in the subcontinent. It's also about finding ways to get off strike and hit boundaries as well. Mm. He's playing the sweep a lot more confidently. We know he has the reverse sweep. It wasn't required here because the pitch wasn't turning enough. So, I mean, we know he's been batting like a dream, but he's been a strange summer for him. He's looked good but not got a big score till now, so he's really trying to cash in, and he looked untroubled by most guys except that brief spell by who else but Anrik Nokia when he started going short at him. And I remember Usman Khawaja was on 165 and he hit him on the underside of his bottom hand, and I thought that was a painful blow. For a while, it looked like it could be something serious. It wasn't. But it was only literally the 8 or 9 ball period during the whole day's play. Oh, it wasn't a whole day or whatever play we had today, where Anrik Nokia went short, that he was slightly troubled. But otherwise, he looks good for a big, big, big score.
Just going to take your hair out of your microphone. There we go. Now, the Hall of Fame. That could be a Hall of Fame moment. But our favourite moment of the day. What works in a final word sense? Brought to you by woodstockcricket.co.uk. They make the best bats in the world. TFW20 when you buy a bat. 20% off. Hall of Fame. I liked the fact that so Travis Head gets out late in the day. Matthew Renshaw finally gets a bat. He's been waiting for years. He's been sitting on the sidelines, freezing. It's been raining and terrible for the last couple of days. He's been out there in the cold with his hoodie on, looking like a sad kid whose parents have forgotten to pick them up after football practice. And he finally gets a bat, and 2.5 overs later, they come off for rain and bad light, and he doesn't get back on. I mean, they have to let Khawaja bat on for a bit tomorrow, but I think they just have to bat on so that Renshaw gets a hit.
I think Renshaw as a whole is the Hall of Fame because he just sat there playing with an umbrella, and I'm sure you guys would have seen at one point, because it was so windy, his umbrella flipped and the whole
turned inside out. I mean, how about, you can't be more of a comedy punchline than someone looking sad with an inside out umbrella.
Yeah. And at one point he looked like he had an iPad screen, but it was one of those screens that they used to see the match, and nobody was talking to him. But for me, the funniest bit was when they went off for rain. Also, don't forget, he comes back to test cricket after 4 years, hits his first ball for 4. So good return for him, for sure. I would have felt good.
But yeah, just a pie on the hip. Nice and easy to help away.
Oh, yeah. It's a welcome back Matthew Renshaw gift. Also, you have COVID, so we'll feel we'll help you out here. But as they were walking off, obviously he couldn't walk off with Usman Khawaja towards the dressing room. So he waits for Usman Khawaja to walk off first. And then he starts walking towards the South African dressing room because he has to go to his little quarters, which is right behind the South African dressing room. Then the South African team see that. And Dean Elgar says, okay, we'll wait. You go. And then because he has COVID, you go first. And then we'll walk off. So in this strange scene at the SCG, you see Matthew Renshaw leading the South African team off the field. If you'd just frozen the frame there, that's what it would have looked like. Matthew Renshaw, just overall, just having one of those days. We didn't speak about Usman Khawaja's celebration, the little shuffle that he did. And Steve Smith just spoke about...
I'm sure that will get played to death on social media. We don't need to beat a dead horse.
Nobody would have noticed. Nobody else would have noticed Matthew Renshaw leading South Africa off the field after having made his debut against them all those years ago.
And nobody noticed what you picked up involving Glenn McGrath in the media center. This is real behind the curtain stuff. This is his test match. It's his town. You've got to get a bit of Glenn McGrath in there.
Absolutely. It was a really cute moment where Glenn McGrath's family is obviously always around or generally around during this wonderful test match. And at one point he was combing his daughter's hair, this little daughter's hair. And I just noticed him doing it. He was doing it beautifully. There was this nice flow. But because we grew up watching a lot of Glenn McGrath and a lot of cricket, it reminded me of how, especially in the subcontinent, he would stand at the top of his mark and shine the ball. So he had this weird technique. Sorry, can I get up?
Yeah.
He had this very interesting technique, if you guys would remember, where Glenn McGrath would hold his pant down like that and have this very elaborate way of shining the ball, always downwards in that fashion. And just the movement of his hands on that comb reminded me of Glenn McGrath shining the ball. I'm sure not many other people would have made that analogy or made that connection, but you know me, I just didn't.
Some things never go away. Time is a flat circle. Right, that's it. That is the final word daily for day 2. We will be back on day three. That's how daily shows work. If you'd like to support the show, patreon.com/thefinalword. And aside from that, Jeff Lemon, Bharat Sundaresan from the SCG. We'll see you tomorrow. I ain't protected, brother. I ain't fenced. And if my future questions my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty. Wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it.